I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up? What's up?
Here's what we do here. We stir it up with the intention of getting you interested with the end game of making a difference. If we can't make a difference, why the hell are we here? A congressman that, since I met him, more than 20 years ago, has always been focused on that. Raising hell with the end game of making a difference. Because if we can't make a difference, why am I here? And why is Congressman Mike Kelly here? Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm great, Marty. How are you?
I'm wonderful, sir.
Okay.
Isn't that why we're here, sir, to make a difference?
I would like to think that all of us at some point in our life would say, what in the world am I doing here? What is my purpose? This is this purpose-driven life, which I think everybody should read. If you can't understand why you're here or what you can do about things that are taking place right now in your time zone, in your lifespan, and you're sitting back and saying, well, somebody better do something. My answer to all the people who've asked that to me is to go to a mirror and take a look. That person looking back at you is probably the person who should get fully engaged in everything that's happening in his or her life. And if you don't do that, please don't look for somebody else to do it for you. Be part of a team. Don't be a standalone that says, well, nobody ever did anything. They should have done something. And they said, my God, that's interesting. You and I both know this, Marty. Whenever the American people decide that it's no longer important to register to vote, and if you are registered, you know what? I'm not even sure that I feel like voting this year. Then please don't sit back and tell me years from now, I should have done something and I didn't. There's nothing worse than passing up an opportunity and then regretting later that you didn't get involved.
I have found Mike Kelly to be that leader since I started doing this show more than 20 years ago. Anytime I've ever gone to him with a problem, they have got in the middle of it and fixed it because he makes a difference. Mike Kelly has been front and center in the investigation surrounding the assassination attempt of Trump and Butler. And now we find out that the Secret Service missed more than 100 radio calls, which is scary as hell. Now we have the Secret Service involved in another controversy suggesting that the president should not fly on this new jet and telling him to fly on Air Force One. It seems to me, sir, that if they're saying that, there are concerns about the president's safety. Are you feeling that, sir?
Absolutely. I am absolutely concerned about it. You and I have been on the same page in so many things for so long. It's hard for me to believe that what we're looking at today, the checking and double checking and cross checking, everything that needs to take place. We live in such a dangerous world. I don't know that anybody is ever safe at any time, anywhere anymore. You have to be cautious of everything that's going on. I've never seen things in such an uproar that they are right now. The same. Loss of confidence that we same. Have same. In each other as human beings is tragic.
Same. Why would they even think of allowing the president to get on a jet that might not be safe, sir?
The only thing I can think of, Marty, is that they had some type of information that came to them and said, listen, don't get on this plane. Let's get old Air Force One out, get it up and running. Let's put him on that plane. We feel more secure with that plane than we do with the plane that he flew over in. That is a heck of a situation to look at right now as to what it is that we're trying to do anymore, and where is it that we're looking at? There could be danger, and the answer is everywhere.
So let's get to Butler.
No.
To imagine that the Secret Service missed over 100 calls that could have been critical in them finding this shooter before he shot the president is frightening, isn't it, sir?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is the one agency that we rely on all the time for not being any political affiliation, but just protecting. And they were part of Treasury at one time, as you and I have talked about before, when they went to Homeland Security. It's an altogether different ballgame.
And are they better today, sir? Are they better from what you know?
I would just say from my personal involvement, going back to a couple of years ago and now talking to new leadership at the Secret Service, I am confident that that group now is much different than the group that was in effect on July of 2024. There's an altogether different leadership, as you and I both know, and I hope our listeners are understanding. The Secret Service falls under law enforcement, which is under the executive branch. So we have the legislative branch, the executive branch, and the judicial branch. Secret Service falls under now, under the executive branch. All the direction of what they're supposed to do on a certain day and certain place with certain people in place comes out of the executive branch. So the question is, what changed between what happened July of 2024 and now? And the difference is we have a new coach, we have new personnel, we have a new offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and we have new personnel on the field, and they're following a different direction than what the previous Secret Service was. We know it was kind of it was in disarrangement. They had been switched from Treasury to Homeland Security. They were if you were to look at an organizational chart and look at all the different things that Homeland Security is for, just go to the very bottom of the chart and you will see Secret Service.
Wow.
They were a lost.
Wow.
They were the redheaded stepchild.
Congressman, in your career, have you seen as many threats to men like the president, to men like you, to other senators and congressmen and judges? Have you seen anything like this in any time in your history in power, sir? Because I haven't. I haven't.
No, I haven't. And I will tell you one thing. If there's one thing you and I have talked about this before. If there was one thing I could have in my life to do, I would like to have just one day to go back and talk to my grandparents, my parents, my aunts and uncles, and just say thank you. You people were absolutely incredible. You saved the world a couple of times. You raised us. You put us before everything else in your life. You sacrificed so that we would have it better. And I look at things today and say, oh, my God, thank God they're not here to see what happened under our watch. This is absolutely stunning and scary of what's happened to the United States of America. And, Marty, one thing I will say, this soccer thing that happened in America, the one saving grace, I know everybody wanted the United States to win.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the end of all this, every one of those teams that came to the United States of America were in awe of this nation and what it provides. And just
this
stunned.
Is so true. This is so true.
Oh.
What a great observation, sir.
Oh.
Right?
Well, yes. And listen, things have changed dramatically. When we no longer rely on the nuclear family to raise our children, when we have to put as part of a tax law a baby bonus so that people will continue to have children, we say, well, these are jobs Americans won't do anymore, and we need to have more people coming to this country because we're not producing enough children on our own. Something is dramatically wrong, and it starts with the faith-based initiative of what America was founded on. I am just stunned at where we turned our heads and said, no, that's no longer important. Well, you know what? Then you aren't raised by the Kellys, the McTighes, or any of the Simmelsbergers. Everything in their life was about the next generation and what they were willing to sacrifice to make it better for the next generation. Sadly, in this relay race that we're in, we were passed the baton, and what we said is, you know what? Why the hell should we run so hard? We can just coast now.
So
we don't
true.
Have to worry about
so
competition.
True. Hey, I need to get your opinion on this. Americans are in distress. They can't buy a house. They can't afford a car. Food has exploded. Gas has exploded. They've lost confidence in their ability to be successful. How do we get back there, sir, when more people flourish? How, sir?
You know, I think that, because of Everything in our lives was made possible for you and I today because of those who brought us into the world, of those who schooled us, those who took us to church, those who taught us about the way life is supposed to be lived. It was never about yourself. It was always about others. We have to figure out how we got so far away from whom it is that we were and to get back on track. And that's going to be a generational change. One thing I will tell you, this generation, the youngest generation now, whether and then we go by what, X, Y, Z, whatever.
Yes, sir.
This new generation is turning back more to the faith-based principles that America was founded on to begin with and saying, what is wrong? We need to get back on track, and we better do it soon. So I would just hope that parents, and you and I both know this, the fastest-growing segment right now of education is homeschoolers and faith-based schools, public schools. While we championed this back in 1843 in Pennsylvania, my God, we're not going to educate just the fortunate. We're going to educate everybody so that the future will be an equal basis for us all. We have watched our education system go into something that we once revered into something that's worth questioning now. That should never have been the case. I just tell people all the time, hey, God bless you for what you're doing, brother. You're out there every day putting that message out there. If parents don't get involved in the raising of their children, if a mom and a dad aren't raising their children, if a dad's not playing catch, taking their child hunting, taking them to the ball game, having dinner with them, and mom's not able to be there, when people have to work two jobs, I'm talking dad working two or mom working two and dad working one or mom working one just to put food on the table and a roof over their head, something is wrong. We've absolutely destroyed the value of our money by overprinting it. And once we went away from the gold standard, as you know, back in 1972, it was about $40 an ounce then. So if you think inflation took place with the food you eat, take a look at what happened to the price of gold. We have been on a destructive path for so long. When you and I first talked, we were $9 trillion in debt. And all of a sudden, we're looking at, we're $40 trillion in debt. And the question is, who the heck is watching the cash register? So the cost of borrowing money, the cost of everything we consume, everything has gone up in price and more. We can't catch up with the increase in cost by looking at, well, how do we change it? How do we dial it back in? I would just tell you that it is going to take longer than one election. And it's going to take longer than just one direction. And I am just encouraging, Marty, you have always championed this. Get involved, get totally immersed in your future of this nation. If you walk away from it, do not be surprised that it veers off course and becomes something so different that you can't go back to 250 years of success and say, you know what, we had a chance to make it better, and we dropped the ball because we just didn't think it was worth it.
Preach it, Congressman. You're my man. Appreciate you, sir.
You're my man. You're my man, brother. I got to tell you, we'll talk off radio for a little bit here, but I'm always going to be concerned about the people. The canaries in the mine are the ones that have always been the ones that have warned people of what's going to happen if you're not paying attention. When that canary wants to leave the mine and was chirping, you better pay attention. That is your warning sign. You are the canary in the mine, my friend. I can't thank you enough for what you're doing.
Congressman Kelly, my brother. Go get him, sir. Appreciate you.
You got it, brother.
From the first time I met him, all you see is this big frame, this big smile. I swear. And then he says, how can I help you? That's what he's about. He's a leader, man.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's, when I was really, really sick with cancer, this is a true story. I went to Washington, D.C., with a bunch of cancer specialists from UPMC, the best in the world. And I was there with them to lobby Congress to direct more money toward cancer research and immunotherapy. It's the truth. A couple of the congressmen and senators didn't agree to do interviews with us. Mike Kelly came running out of the elevator and hugged me. How are you? How can we help you? What can we do? He doesn't care about anything but making a difference. He makes a significant number of points about where we're at. We constantly find ways to blame other people for our shortcomings, right? Whether it's I can't buy a house because I don't get paid enough, or whether it's I don't have the right job because no one likes me, or whether it's my kids are all in jail and that's because the cops are bad people, whether it's I don't like my boss, that's why I'm not making enough money at work. My father never did that. And so he taught me, you're not allowed to do that. My father worked three jobs and went to night school at the same time. My kids all work two jobs. And that's what they will do because that's what my father did. And that's what his father from Ireland did. Until we look in the mirror and say, what can I do? Forget anyone else. What can I do to work harder? What can I do to make a difference? What can I do to think harder? What can I do to make things better? It's on us, man. The man in the mirror. The woman in the mirror. Great stuff from the congressman. My man's a leader. And leaders are tough to find these days. Apologists, empathizers, socialists, Marxists, communists, I don't know what the hell we all are. What we have to do is get back to what we should be. Hardworking, dedicated adults committed to one thing, our families and making a difference. That's it.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show, How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend, Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going to get into this tomorrow a lot, but this crap with this old Air Force One versus the new one and not flying it. It's so sketchy and so ridiculous and so obnoxious how they lie to us. So they get this plane donated to him from some rich guys. And then they say they retrofit it so that it'll protect him, Trump. And then he flies it a couple times, telling us how beautiful it is. right? And then yesterday they say he can't fly it. And now I hear from my friends in the Secret Services, the reason why they can't fly it is it doesn't have the stuff on it that it's supposed to protect the president. Then why the blank are they flying it? It's disgusting, man. It's the same crap. The same crap that nearly got Trump's head blown off in Butler. Same crap. I don't care if he says it's beautiful. We're going to get into this tomorrow, but it's obnoxious as hell. What is the standard? It's okay if you fly it to Cleveland, but it's not cool if you fly it overseas. Huh? What are we doing here? Man, it irritates me. I got to play this clip. This is both frightening, troublesome, frustrating, creates great anger and fear. Listen to this clip. This happened yesterday at the Pittsburgh Zoo in the parking lot. Listen.
Regarding that child locked in the vehicle, can you get rescue started and get an ETA? That will help us determine if we have to do an immediate entry.
Yeah, we got rescue and EMS on the way. Let me get their ETA. 537. Just be advised, rescue 1 and 2 are both on cardiac arrest calls. I'm not getting an ETA for them. Still waiting on EMS.
37, that's copy. We have a vehicle description. I'm on scene.
It's going to be a white Chrysler 300 in the parking lot.
Copy. 3537, do we have an ETA on anyone coming here to assist with this? Otherwise, I'm going to break the window.
37, no ETA, break the window.
Wow. What the hell, man? My boy, Mike Fisher, Scanner Mike, posted this, and he was spot on. He said, if you left, this is true, if you left your baby in the car, the cops just broke your window and took your child. Save that kid. Save that kid's life. So some moron, what was it yesterday? It was in the 90s, right, Trevin? Yeah. The heat index was over 100. Some moron let the kid in the car, the cops pull up and go, damn, there's a kid in there. And then they wait, and then they wait, and they say, oh, no, we ain't waiting no more. That kid could die. Break the window, save the kid's life, and they still don't know who the hell mom and dad are or where they're at. Patrick O'Connor, we've told this story before, not just in Texas and Arizona or Florida, but here in Pennsylvania, haven't we, sir?
Time and time again, my friend.
A guy outside of Pittsburgh in Peters owned a nail salon and generally didn't take his baby to work. The wife had to do something. Dad said, I'll take her to work. It'll be cool. Dad pulls up in front of the nail salon with the minivan running, okay? Windows up, kid inside. He goes inside, gets distracted and caught up in business. The car runs out of gas and stops, and the baby dies. So, by the way, Patrick, it's hot enough here for a kid to die here. Is it not, sir?
It absolutely is. In the first 10 minutes, when it's 80 degrees outside, 10 minutes is all it takes for your car to jump another 20 degrees inside. So 10 minutes, that 80 degree, temperature is now 100 degrees. 20 minutes, it's going to go up again.
Since 1990.
Dangerous. We've already had six children.
Hold on. Since
1990.
Hold on.
In Pennsylvania
hold on.
This year.
Hold on. Since 1990, at least 1,170 kids have died in hot cars. And 7,500 survived with insane injuries. How many died so far this year, Patrick?
So heat stroke deaths for children, this is pediatric only, 10 so far this year, wow. Six in Pennsylvania.
Wow. Hey, Patrick.
That's nationwide.
I've done these in Dallas, where it was always hot, and in Florida, where it was always hot. Dallas, same thing. The guy generally didn't take his kid to work, drives to work, parks his car in a garage, forgets that the kid's in the back, goes to the office, comes out of work, and his baby's dead in the car. It happens more than anyone would imagine, doesn't it, Patrick?
It does, unfortunately. It happens a lot. Now, maybe it's happening less because of some of the technology we have in our cars now, but still, one is too many.
Okay, I want to go through some of the deaths. Patrick mentioned six in Pennsylvania. This situation at the Pittsburgh Zoo yesterday afternoon, the kid did not die. And I don't know the whereabouts of mom and dad, which is scary as hell. Using Patrick's location as an example, in Phoenix, what was the high yesterday, sir?
The high yesterday was 114.
And then one of the CBS reporters, or one of the reporters I saw, mentioned the temperature on the sidewalk. What was that, sir?
The pavement temperature was 154 degrees.
And Patrick,
it was 115 outside.
In your car in Phoenix, if it's 115 outside, it could get to that area pretty quickly, couldn't it? That temperature, dangerous.
Oh, it absolutely can. In fact, you can watch it in real time with the way the technology is set up in my car. In fact, I'm going to look inside right now, and I'll tell you the temperature inside my car in the garage is 106 degrees.
Right now?
Right now, in the covered garage, wow. 106.
So we had this case in Pittsburgh, and Patrick and I decided to figure out if people would notice on a hot day if folks noticed a baby in a car. So we set up a car on, was it Murray Avenue in Squirrel Hill? One of those.
We did Murray Avenue, and we sat there for, God, what?
Hour and a half, 2 hours. In a restaurant right beside the car with a lifelike baby in a car seat and the windows up. Patrick, how many people noticed the baby in that car in an hour and a half? How many?
Zero.
Zero.
Not one.
Zero. Thank God for those cops yesterday. That kid would be dead. Right?
Yeah. No question. I mean, my God. Whoever called the police for that, praise the Lord they did that.
Hey, Patrick, because our car has it and your car has it, folks should make sure if they're buying a new car, it has this technology. What does yours do? Mine says a light comes on and there's a ring, Patrick. It says check the back seat. Does yours do the same thing?
It's similar.
Yeah.
My car also has something called cabin overheating protection where it will come on and turn the air conditioner on.
Okay.
To cool it down. But it absolutely tells you there's the seats. And most modern cars have sensors in the seats, so it knows whether something heavier than, you know, a couple of pounds is sitting there, and it will notify you to check the back seat, make sure everything's good.
Folks, 36 deaths last year, six in Pennsylvania so far, and thank God for those cops to break that window, to grab that baby and save its life. Please pay attention to what the hell you're doing.
Regarding that child locked in the vehicle, can you get rescue started and get an ETA? That will help us determine if we have to do immediate entry.
Yeah, we got rescue and EMS on the way. Let me get their ETA. 537. Just be advised, rescue 1 and 2 are both on cardiac arrest calls. I'm not getting an ETA for them. Still waiting on EMS.
37, that's copy. We have a vehicle description. I'm on scene.
It's going to be a white Chrysler 300 in the parking lot.
Copy. 3537, do we have an ETA on anyone coming here to assist with this? Otherwise, I'm going to break the window.
37, no ETA, break the window.
They saved that kid's life. I don't know what the hell happened to mom and dad, but they saved that kid's life. Mike Fisher, Pittsburgh Scanner. Scary stuff, isn't it, brother?
Morning. Good morning. Yes, that call about the child in the car at the Pittsburgh Zoo, not good.
Hey, Mike, and I know you pay attention to this stuff, and your post was extraordinary. If you left your kid in the car coming, better find out where they're at because the cops just had to save their life. This is life and death stuff, isn't it, Mike?
Marty, being locked in a vehicle during this time of year can be deadly because the heat is very intense. My vehicle, for instance, has a thermometer inside of it that I can check on my app, and it's currently 150 degrees.
What?
At 11 in the morning.
What?
Because I'm in direct sun.
What? It's 150 in your car?
150 in my car right now, man. I got black interior. It's very, very hot.
Hey, Mike, did they ever find the parents here? Do you know?
All we heard was that the child was rescued, and that was it. Some other stuff took over, so they were kind of quiet after that.
I want to play this other clip that was amazing yesterday with this police sergeant that was nearly killed and the extraordinary effort that cops took to save his life. You got that, Trevin?
480, I have Matisse Fort officer being escorted to Mercy. He will be coming across the high-level bridge in a few minutes, requesting travel assist. Need to get him right there. Emergency again. Matisse Fort officer being escorted to Mercy. He will be coming across the high-level bridge in a few minutes, requesting travel assist.
Got the unit.
442, I'm close. I'll try to catch him.
431, I'll head there as well.
For them to get to Mercy Hospital. Units going to that traffic assist. They're coming across the Rankin Bridge right now. Again, they're coming across the Rankin Bridge right now.
That's not the high level, so they're on the Rankin Bridge?
Coming across the Rankin Bridge. We just got word right now.
All right, copy. It's going to be get a minute to catch up.
Copy. It's going to be an ambulance with multiple officers escorting it.
11, you can add us to that.
Copy.
430. Across the Rankin Bridge towards the high level bridge, correct?
Affirmative. Going over the Rankin Bridge towards high level bridge.
Unit 11. 480.
Unit 11 to 3480.
Busway in Switchville.
Unit 11, base on channel 3.
411, I'm putting you on that. Last unit, go ahead.
Unit 11, base. I just spoke to McKeesport directly on PD1. Wow. They're coming 837 to the high-level bridge.
Wow.
High-level bridge to the parkway to Mercy. So if we can get units set up at Brownsville, Beechwood, Hazelwood, all the major intersections
wow.
to pull the traffic for them coming across the bridge. Not ranking, they're coming high-level.
That's good copy.
42, I got it. I'm at Beechwood Monitor. I'll start opening up Beechwood.
430, I'm at the high-level. At Brownfield.
Stay up there. I got monitoring in right here.
431, sorry.
Wow. So, first we play cops saving a kid's life, and then we play heroic efforts by cops to escort, to blockade traffic to save an officer's life. They had a hell of a day, didn't they, yesterday, Mike?
Always an interesting day in the city.
But my man, you got to respect and admire how organized they were in an effort to get this guy to the ER as soon as possible. It's amazing, isn't it, sir?
It's amazing how fast that everyone in the field can pivot
yes.
toward one shared goal.
Yes. We hear this.
They wanted a life flight, this guy, but it was too windy. What's the next way? Got to drive.
This is exactly it. We were told it was too windy, so to hell with it. And by them doing that, I'm told, by the way, he's in stable condition. They most likely saved his life. You got to love it. We heard the same thing, by the way, with Pittsburgh firefighters at that Mount Washington fire. For those who don't think public safety kicks ass. You know what I'm saying, brother? Right?
You're real good in this city. I give them that.
Yeah. So it's 150 degrees in your car right now.
Pretty warm.
It's amazing.
No kids. I checked.
Ha! No cats, no nothing. And a Hershey
no
bar
cats,
in the back
no
seat.
No cats, no dogs.
Hershey bar in the back seat is now a milkshake. Thanks, brother. You're my man.
Glad to be here.
For folks who disrespect and disregard public safety, think of what they did yesterday alone. It's absolutely amazing.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality. Yankees. Let's fly.